Hey, we are blessed. And I just want to talk on stewardship and talk on finances. And we're going to do this for about 3 weeks. And then we're going to get into a marriage series. And Miss Renee, she will be back just communicating and having great conversations through a marriage series. Marriage series is going to start in 3 weeks. It's going to look a little different. We're going to do more conversations. We've did that before, but we're going to do it again. Renee and I will be up here more together during that. And I'm really excited about this marriage series. I'm excited about the unity that God has given us in marriage and to make sure that nothing ever brings the division. So we'll talk on that in a few weeks. But if you would open me to Matthew 6. And I just want to communicate on a place of stewardship on Believer's Chapel. And we're able to have such a stunning event as Flourish and in the winter formal. And just because of our great servants in this church, we have truly the greatest volunteers and the greatest servants at BC that are so willing to do so much to get stuff done to honor these ladies in the night. And that's just a one ministry sliver of Believer's Chapel. But they're all the same. They all have these amazing volunteers that are so willing to do so much. And just there's so much that gets done, and there's so much seed of fruit that is sown that we see such great fruit. It's incredible. It's incredible. And we walk in this place to say, guess what? A level of excellence, it does take finances. A level of excellence, to do it right, it takes finances. And Believer's Chapel, hear this, Believer's Chapel has never struggled. And that is because of you. And I love this because I get to speak and minister and communicate from passages for 3 weeks on stewardship. And really speaking, it's a matter of the heart. Giving comes from the heart. And I do this, watch this, I love this because I'm so free to be able to preach this and so free to be able to communicate on this in a sense of we are blessed as a church, and God has put his hand of favor on this church, and we have these amazing people who understand tithes and offerings and know what it means to give. Like, this is not because we're in this place that we've come off of 2020, this crazy year that we were shut down for a few months, this crazy year that we stopped passing a basket, this crazy year that churches unfortunately have been closing, which, by the way, is a plan of the enemy through this thing. But yet Believer's Chapel, listen, I love this. For 2020 compared to 2019, our closing finances for 2020, we have increased 1.5% from 2019. And what I love about this is I'm not here saying, come on, open the pocketbooks, write your check. We're a little behind. We got bills to pay. What's going on? Stay faithful. What's wrong with you people? Come on. Man, we are 25% lower than we were. It's none of that. It's praise unto God that we have amazing people at Believer's Chapel that understand what it means to invest in his kingdom first. And watch what that means to invest in people for an eternity, no matter what the economy is looking like. We walk in a place to say, God, you do get my first. And Believer's Chapel is in a place of 1.5% higher in a year, watch this, that we actually closed our doors, which will never happen again. In a sense that we actually walked in a place that we came to a place, even though there's many who would love to shut churches down. I don't feel in my spirit that we should ever shut down again. I'm just saying, I feel in my spirit that we should never shut down again. People, if you want to come to church, please come to church. If you feel it necessary to wear a mask, please wear a mask. But we want you here. And in a year that we started this amazing project, where we have Matt Cobb on staff, and Matt is brilliant in many, many levels, truly. And I'm not puffing him up. He is brilliant. If you know Matt, you love Matt. And he's got personality plus, but yet he's got skill that supersedes. And you walk in a place of saying, hey, we need to up our game for Kingdom Kids. We did the castle. That was amazing. Paid for in cash. And then we need to do something in Kingdom Kids because they graduate out of the castle and they come to a barnyard stalls, if you remember those, and we're like, we got to do something because they want to go back to the castle with the slides. So we're like, okay, let's whatever we do, we'll have a slide in here and it'll be fun, but let's build something. And my man Matt says, let's build a ship. Well, what the heck does that look like? It's not the Ark. Don't go there. Matt will punch you. It's a ship. It's the SS Waymaker, right? And then the creative team that we have got together and said, we can do this and we can do that. And it can look like this. And then Matt and his builders, all this was all before COVID hit. And then all of a sudden, COVID hits and we don't know what this thing really is and the facts aren't out yet and everybody is I want to say in the beginning, it might have been a healthy understanding of being very careful. We don't know what this thing is. I can't even get into where we're at now with that. But the idea is we did shut down church for safety reasons and different things until we figured this thing out. And we had meetings to sense if we started a project of this ship, which was, by the way, a $90,000, $95,000 project. What do we do with this? And we're like, you know what? We're going to finish what we started. And we invested around $95,000 into that project. And by the way, completely 100% in cash. And you walk in a place to see what it is today, where now we are in a place that we can honestly believe for 200 kids on a Sunday. Before COVID, we were rounding around 150. And now we are believing for two. Once we're able to really fully open, once we're able to truly push, we're believing for just a packed house based off of where we have been for the last year. And we're believing for 200 kids, investing in them for the kingdom where they love church so much that they're actually waking you up on Sunday, grabbing you by the hand. Hey, Grace Weaver, we're not sleeping in today. We're coming to church. Mom and Dad, we're not sleeping in today, we're coming to church and dragging you to church because we've had the finances to invest so much money into Kingdom Kids. And you got to understand from the beginning of Believer's Chapel. And this is a year that we stopped passing a basket in March. And how is it that we are 1.5% increase from 2019 that we're able to invest so much money. And again, when you walk over there, you see this level of excellence that is unmatched. And that's because of you. And that's because of you. When you honestly walk in this place to fall in love with God and to know the heart of the Father, it is not difficult to give. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today and get into it more next week. And we walk in a place as a church financially where we started this thing in our living room. And then we have the ability to purchase an empty warehouse in Allegheny, which we now call BC West. And then after that, we were able to purchase a house right next door that gave us several acres that allowed the youth group and Breakaway and the Glow Ministry and the Flourish and all these other ministries now to be able to use that for soccer and use that for Breakaway and use that for football and use it. And now we have a house as a parsonage. And there's just, and that's because there's been so many people who've been so faithful to give and understand what it means to build the kingdom. And then all of a sudden, this building opens up and it was just miraculous how so many people gave to this project. $1.25 million just to buy this as a banquet center, not including a penny that we put into it to make it what it is today with the castle and the separate rooms and the sanctuary and the lighting and the speakers and the music. And out of the $1.25 million of just a purchase price of what it took to get us where we're at today. And I want you to hear this because this is huge, because this is because of you. This is because of your faithfulness that in everything that we've invested, in every building that we purchased, in purchasing this building, $1.25 million, and putting everything into this building, which one room was $95,000, today we have one debt and it's $340,000. There's houses that cost more than that. God has blessed Believer's Chapel, and we are in a very healthy place financially. So please, please, please hear my heart. We don't come today to preach on finances because we have great gaps. No, we are in such an amazing place financially because of you. And this isn't any type of plot to get you to open up your pocketbooks and give. And we're doing another offering at the end of the service because that's how you get more money. Please, folks, we are in such a great, healthy place financially in this church. We are blessed. And that's because of you. And that is because of your understanding of what it means. If God is so generous because God loved and he gave, and I am a part of him and I want to take on his image and I want to be like him, then that has to be changed within my spirit of being generous, because you're not born generous. You never have to teach a child to be selfish. You put a toy on the ground and two kids and they'll fight for it, right? You put a toy on the ground and another one over here, and one kid's playing with this toy, and he walks over and grabs the other toy, can't play with two toys at once. And then the other kid comes over and wants to play with this toy, and they're like, no, that's mine. No, that's not mine. No, that's mine. No, it's my toy. Yeah, but you have a toy, but I want that toy, and I want your toy. And like, isn't it amazing that you don't have to teach kids to be selfish? It's in them. It's sin. It's there. It's the nature. So what happens that when you take on, watch this, when you take on a new nature, you go from a taker to a giver. It's in the nature of God. It's in his character that God is generous. God so loved that he gave. He is a generous Father, and you come to this place to understand my nature has changed, and we have that here at Believer's Chapel, where there is a nature that has changed within, and it's not difficult to give. It's not difficult to give. Man, I was raised in an amazing home that understood giving and generosity. Mom and Dad, you know that they were the Christian bookstore owners at Good Tidings Bookstore years and years. They had the business for over 25 years, and it was amazing. And they sold books, and they did okay, but they didn't make a ton of money, but they always did very well with us. And I learned what it meant. You don't have to have everything to be able to have a generous heart. Mom and Dad were so generous, and they would always give stuff away in the store, and they would give Bibles away in the store, and they would give tapes away. Cassette, who remembers cassette tapes, right? Y'all don't even, but cassette tapes, like they'd give Sandy Patty away, and they're like, they give me Sandy Patty. I'm like, really? She was awesome. She was awesome. In the 70s, amen. I'm like, really, Dad? Sandy Patty? John, listen to this guy. His name is Carmen. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. On a cassette tape. But I saw generosity in action. It's not talked about. Generosity is I do. That's what generosity is. And my dad tells a story about his first time with my mom and taking her out for the very first date. And he goes to the house, and you know my Nana, and you've heard stories of my Nana, my mom's mom, just an amazing woman that she was, and in the presence of God right now. And this amazing story, could you imagine this? Dudes, I want to ask you, like, could you imagine this? Will you walk up for the first date, and your date's mom, you're digging this girl, you're digging this chick, she's cute. You're like, man, I just want to go out to a movie. This is amazing. You get all, you know, you got your cologne on, she's got a perfume on, she's looking beautiful, you're looking dapper, car is clean and waxed, and you walk up and you're like, oh, I gotta meet the parents, and what's this gonna look like? And you're just like, you know, cleaning your teeth and smelling your breath, and you walk in, and my mom's mom, my Nana, the very first question, she answers the door and says, young man, do you tithe? And my dad at the time will tell the story, he lies. And says, of course I tithe. He didn't even know what a tithe was, right? He's just like, well, of course I tithe. Like, I'm first date, first encounter, young man, do you tithe at the door? Because my Nana knew something spiritually connected to the word. Your finances are attached to your heart. And when I understand that you are a generous person, I understand that you understand what it means to where you're going to put your finances in the kingdom of God, I can tell right away it's a matter of the heart. And in her question, she wasn't asking him how much he made. She wasn't asking him about his job. In that question, son, do you tithe? It's a question of, I want to know where your heart is. That's an amazing question to ask, because it's a question that reveals heart. Come on, look at this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I want you to read it with me, please. Three verses, 19, 20, and 21. I want you to read this with me. Get your Bibles out. Get your cell phones on. Psalm 9017 is the password for the Wi-Fi. And I want you to read this out loud with me, please, if you would. Come on, let's read this together. It's Matthew 6, 19, 20, and 21. Matthew 6, 19, 20, and 21. And let's just read this together, because I want you to see this, that stewardship, it is a matter of the heart, right? Come on, watch this. Here it is. let's go. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I preach from the New American Standard, NASB. I love the NASB version. I think it's one of the most original to the Greek and Hebrew. Just in case you're wondering, this is what we preach from. This is what is on the screen. And I love this where it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can take it. And what rust means, it's not the rust that we know of, it's just something that is corrosive, right? That rust corrodes, and it's something that is corrosive to a materialistic things. And I love where Jesus is speaking this on the Sermon on the Mount, the longest sermon that he preached. And in the middle of that, he gives this amazing, whopping, amazing truth to finances, going, listen, if you just invest in material things and you only invest in things here on the earth, guess what? If you have a closet that is just stacked with enough clothes that you could never wear, eventually moth is going to get in there and just start to eat and destroy those, all your stacks of, and there's nothing wrong with nice clothes. It's not that. There's nothing wrong with nice things. But if that's all that you're investing in, and that's all where your finances are going towards, things that eventually will decay and things that eventually will rust and things that eventually will not exist any longer, if that's where all your finances are going, you're out of balance. He says, listen, we need to invest. He's speaking on kingdom here. We need to invest in the kingdom, because when you invest in the kingdom, and what it means to invest in the kingdom is to invest in people's lives for an eternity. And I love that this has been our game from the very beginning. If we are going to invest in the kingdom, and investing in the kingdom, we're going to have this level of excellence. And what we do, we're going to do right, because it's going to draw people in. And in that, we can invest in their lives for an eternity. We can do things outside these walls that will invest in our community, our local backyard. Church, I love to bless our own backyard. I think you need to tend to your own garden. We do give to overseas missions. We do give to Heritage of Flame, which is an amazing organization. Pastor David Hearn, who's on our board here, who I served under for many years, going in different countries to serve on the mission field, went back to college to get a missions degree, because I love the work of a missionary. I love the work of going, and I love the work of sowing seed in a place and being a part of that whole organization. We, as Believers Chapel, we sow finances into this organization, and then they go around the world. We also sow into individuals here in America and outside America. In a sense of, as missionaries, we sow seed into them as a family, and God has blessed that, and it's amazing. But the majority of our finances stays local, because I believe that you're supposed to tend to your own garden. And I believe we're supposed to minister to our own backyard and be so effective in this community and in our region to invest and build his kingdom. And in that, we invest in people. And as you invest in people, it means eternal life. And there is no better investment. That's what Jesus is saying here. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where neither moth nor rust destroys, thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, that's your finances. And listen, you can begin to speak on finances and people can just shut down saying, oh, the church needs more money. Man, I made that clear. This ain't about getting more money from you. It's about walking in this place to understand people get funny about money and there's no need to. If you understand the heart of God and you take on that heart and you take on that nature, it's not complicated. It's quite simple. Because please hear me, man. I'm 51 years old. I've been a cop for 27 years. I've been in ministry for 27 years. Since the year Renee and I got married, we were in ministry. I've probably been a cop now for 30 years, actually. Been married 27, in ministry for 27. So when you're a police officer in your ministry, you see people, and I can tell you, man, you can boil people down real quickly to two types of people, givers and takers. It's not complicated. Givers and takers. There are those who have the nature to be generous and to give, and there are those who all they do is take, 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 take. And unfortunately, there has been erroneous teaching in regards to the church in finances and the church in giving, where they set it up in a sense of the purpose of giving is to get. You reap what you sow, and if you give, you're going to get it back. And if you give, you're going to get this. And if you give, you're going to give this. Listen, please hear it. There's a very real, true biblical balance to what it means to reap and sow. There's a very real balance to understand and want to honor God from my, the first of all my produce. But in that, my barns will be filled and my vats of wine will overflow. There's always blessing in giving. But if your motive and in your intent is to give to get, we're out of line. It has to be a mindset of, man, I am so in love with God and I see his nature that God so loved the world that he gave that I take on this generous nature and I walk in a place to be able to get to give. I don't give to get, I get to give. And that's a mind change. And there's a motive and intent change to say it's not about what I get out of it, it's about me being one in an understanding that I get to invest in a kingdom which is investing in people's lives for an eternity. And that is amazing. And from the very beginning of our marriage, Renee and I set it up from day one of what our line and our budget means. And budgeting is not complicated. We try to sit by a simple rule. Spend less than you make. It's not complicated. Sean, what is the number one rule of budgeting? Spend less than you make. You'll always have money. If you spend more than you make, you're out of balance. If you spend less than you make, I make this, I'm going to spend less than that. That means there's always extra going in the bank. And from the very beginning of our marriage, we did. We set a budget and we set up, we tithe and give our offering off of our gross. I want God to get my money before the government. I'm not saying that's biblical. I'm not saying you do that. I'm saying for me and my house, we walk in a place and say, this is what we make. This is the gross. This is the top dollar. I'm going to give God first before I give it to my government. And we decided from before we were ever married, honey, this is what we're going to do financially. We're going to walk in a place. We're going to make this. And the very first line of our budget is tithes and offerings. An offering is above the 10%. And we're going to give this first, and then we live off the rest. And it's never changed. This first, and then everything outside of that comes after. The kind of car that I drive comes after that. The house I live in and my mortgage comes after that. Insurance comes after, like everything comes after that. Why? Because it's his first. And God has been so faithful. My dad would always say, Sean, you can never outgive God. Sean, you can never outgive God. He would drill it in his kids. Sean, you can never outgive God. And dad raised three boys who were just generous. He raised three boys who work hard. Obergefellers are not lazy. You have to work hard. I started work at 14. All of my kids started work at 14. I worked in the Weston's pet shop at 14 years old. I had to ride my bike to work. As you can see, we have fish. We love our fish here. At 14, man, we were working. And dad said, Sean, listen, at 16, you can get your license and you can buy yourself a car. Thanks, Dad. You're paying for your car, but the rule is this. I'm going to let you, this is my dad's phrase, I'm going to let you pay for it, but I get to pick it. Did you say I get to pick it, Dad, and you're paying for it? No, son, you're paying for it, and I get to pick it. I'm like, something's not right with that statement. What do you mean? No, Sean, you got to understand, you get to pay for the car and the insurance. 16, I had to pay for my car and my insurance, which means I had to work. But I get to pick it. And man, and my dad loves cars. Like he loves cars. He's an old car guy. He loves cars. He has relationship with his cars, talks to his car. Like it's crazy. Like I'm not, give me the thing to drive. This is the first time in the history of my life that I actually have a car that I like in my Jeep. I picked it. I like it. It's the first time, 51 years old, first time I'm driving something that I actually wanted, right? And when my dad picked a car for me, it was for one purpose. It was for safety. Like it was this humongous yellow boat, man. It was a Ford whatever. I don't know what it was. I think it was the first Ford ever made, man. It was on, this thing was enormous. It was huge. It was heavy. It was metal. And I'm like, Dad, this is not helping my chick magnet aura. Like this is not a chick magnet, Dad. I'm 16. Come on, this is not helping with the ladies. This thing is enormous. It's huge. It's ugly. It's yellow. It's funny, I have a yellow Jeep. I didn't have my Pittsburgh Steelers at that point. But it was enormous. And he was just like, well, you'll be safe in this. My gosh, Dad, I could get run over by a train and live. Like the train would be derailed before it hurts me. Like this is unbelievable. You want me to drive this thing? And then I got to realize, like, I was the first one in my class to get a license, and you could fit so many people in the car. I became the hero. I was like, all right, chick magnet, it works. Like, I'm the only one driving, and you can fit the whole class in my front and back and trunk and on top of the car. And it was just, anyways. But the reality of stewardship and the reality of what it means to work hard for something. You see, we live in a system that people just take and they just take, and this is the system. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that was put into us as kids. If you want something, Sean, you're going to work for it. But yet God is first. But yet God is first. And when you understand, I'm not going to get all political, but when you understand the socialist economy, that is a take, 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 take economy. I'm going to take from those who actually work for it, and I'm going to give to those who don't. And that is not biblical. You don't work, you don't eat. And watch this, please, as Believer's Chapel, just so you know, as Believer's Chapel, we differentiate the difference in our benevolence between lazy and poor. If you're lazy, knock on someone else's door. Go to job. Go get a job. Go to work. If you are poor, or if you're a single mom, our heart is for you. And we will work with you. We have Matt, and he sits down with people in benevolence and tries to walk them through financial education. Like, it's not just a one and done. We'll give you, we sit down with people and help them financially. Those who are truly poor and those who are hurting and broken and those who are trying to etch out a living, but yet they're not lazy. They want to go to work. If you're lazy, don't knock on this door. And we've had to tell people, no, actually, you just, we're not going to give God's money to that. You need to go get a job. You're healthy. You walk into place to see this and want to see this. I got a minute here. I want you to see this. Because there's something put right in the middle of where Jesus is teaching here. So verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to skip 22 and 23, but I want to go to 24. For no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is a financial passage. This is a financial passage. Look at where God says. He's like, it's how you see me and how you serve me and how you see money and how you serve money. You've heard this on many occasions. You are either a slave to money or a money is slave to you. You either own it or it owns you. It either tells you what to do or you tell it what to do. Like, this is the reality of money. God says you can't serve both. You either live for money or you live for me. How is it that we see things through God's eyes? How does God see finances? It can be a slave. You can be a slave to it. It can own you. It can tell you what to do. Or you can own it and you can tell it what to do because you see it through my eyes. Because you see it, watch this. You see it as not your own. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. And when you understand, I only have because God gave and it was his to begin with, so it's not really mine. So when I'm called to be generous, and this is talking about being generous, when I'm called to be generous, I'm not even giving my money away. I'm giving God's money away that he gave to me. And therefore, I'm never a slave to money. The money doesn't own me. I own it and I tell it what to do. And I walk in a place to say, God, I want to see finances through your eyes. How do you see this? He says, Sean, you can't be with me and with money at the same time. And listen, please hear me. There's nothing wrong with money. We can get into the extremely abundant rich of Scripture who loved and feared God with all their heart. Well, 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us it's the love of money that is the root of all sorts of evil. It's the love of money. Know that. When you see so much evil running rampant around us, somebody's making a lot of money. And it's evil. And it's wicked. When you say, how could things be so, how could there be so much wickedness? How could we be lied to so, how could, because it's the love of money that is the absolute foundation and root of all sorts of evil. And God's is like, listen, you can't have both. And there's nothing wrong with money. It's what you do with it. And I love this. Watch this. So he says, no one can serve two masters. You will hate the one, love the other. You will be devoted to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, here it is, here it is. Do not be worried. Ha! Who, don't show your hands. Who worries over money? And God is like, I'm talking about money. Jesus is like, listen, I'm talking about money. Sermon on the Mount, most famous sermon he gives, longest sermon he gives, right in the middle of it. He gives this amazing message within the message on finances. Say, listen, if you do it my way, if you see it through my eyes, you've got nothing to worry about. Yeah, but what if? No, you got nothing to worry about. Yeah, but what? No, you got nothing to worry about. Listen, a father loves to give good gifts to his children. Father loves to make sure, a good father loves to make sure his children are taken care of. My dad and mom were amazing. We didn't make a ton of money, but we had everything that we ever needed. They took us on vacation almost every year. They gave us amazing clothing. Like, it was an amazing, incredible upbringing, and they did everything they could with what they had, and they made it work, and we were never once without, because you can never outgive God. It's a matter of the heart. And then he says this, watch this. I love this. Come on, I got to fly. I love this. We didn't even get to the meat. I'll get to the meat in a minute. Here we go. Watch this, watch this. He says this. Do not be worried for this reason. Circle for this reason. And then circle, do not be worried. And then watch what he does, verse 26. For look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They have no worries. Isn't it amazing that God takes care of the bird? The birds never run out of mosquitoes. Oh, I wish they would. But that will be one of my questions. Lord, in all of the holiness of who you are, why mosquitoes? Like, they're like, maybe to the sinners of the world, but to your saints, it's like that. Like, could you imagine a mosquito the size of your hand with this needle coming out of his face that's going to suck all your blood? Like, they're creatures, man, but they're the size of your thumbnail. It's amazing. God, why mosquitoes? Feed the birds, maybe. I don't know. But the reality is this, as God says, look at the birds. I could imagine him teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and birds are flying by, and in the moment, Jesus says, they have no worries. They're always fed. They just go from branch to branch, from nest to nest, and they have no worries, and they eat. And then I want you to see this. We'll close with this. Go back up to verse 22 and 23. Verse 21 says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I wanted you to see 22 and 23. They seem out of place here if you don't put them in context. And when you read scripture, I encourage you to read full chapters at a time. I encourage you to read the verse before and the verse after and then the verse after and then the verse before, and who's saying it and why are they saying it and what do they mean by this and who are they saying it to, and get things into context, because you see that these verses, 22 and 23, they just kind of seem to be out of place and in a financial message. Jesus is giving a financial message in the middle of a message, and then he says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, highlight clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye, that's what we see, if your sight or what you see or how you view is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you is dark, how great is that darkness? Like, that just seems out of place to me until you look before it, it's talking about finances, and then you look after it, it's talking about finances. Guess what this is talking about? It's talking about finances. And watch this, please hear this, and how you see the Father. Because when your eye is clear, that word clear, it means that which is simple, that which is not complicated, that which is pure. Watch this, that which is healthy. When your eye sees healthy, clearly, right? When you understand what this looks like, I want to see as my Father sees. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is generous, and in him being generous, I want to see the way that he sees. I want to function in the way that he functioned. I want to take on the nature of God. Look at the opposite of this, and it has to do with finances. You don't just don't take out two verses in the middle of a passage of finances unless you identify this is speaking in regards to my vision and how I see according to who God is. Watch this, verse 23, but if your eye is bad, or if your eye is malicious or evil or unhealthy, you don't see things properly. Church, I want us to walk in a place to understand. I want to be generous and I want to be a giver, because the heart of my Father is to be a giver, and he is generous so much that he gave his only son to die on a cross. And he even says, if you ask, then I will give. And you walk in a place to see part of God's nature is that he is generous. And I want my eye not to be clouded. I don't want my eyes to be contaminated. I don't want my eye to be bad. I want to see how the Father is, and I want to see his nature. And in that is a healthy view. And in that brings and bears light. This is talking about finances and how you see it. And how you see the Father. And when you come to a place to realize that generosity is truly a matter of the heart. It's not difficult to take on the nature of God, and it's not difficult to give. It's not complicated. When you know I'm investing in building a kingdom, and in that I'm investing in building people for eternal life. And in that is a matter of my heart. Watch real quick. I just want to read this. You don't have to turn there. We'll pick it up next week. 2 Corinthians 9 says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. I don't give because I have to. I give because I get to. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Let me ask you two questions. Number one, are you generous? Number one, are you generous? Do you take on the heart of the Father? Are you generous? And number two, are you happy about it? Number one, are you generous? And number two, are you happy about it? Because God loves a generous. The word generous means hilarious. That's what the Greek meaning of generous, cheerful, it means something that is so cheerful that it's hilarious, it's laughable. I love this. I'm so happy to be able to give. And it's just simple two questions. Man, are you generous, number one? And number two, are you happy about it? Or does it hurt you to give? Are you like, I don't want to give. I got this or I got that. I got my new truck. I can't give. It just, I don't like this. This is like, No. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of a place to say, I feel like I'm generous. And you know what? I love to give. Matter of fact, I look at it as a privilege. I get to give back what already owned by God, what he actually gave me. I have nothing unless he gave it to me. And he gave it to me, therefore I give it back. And I'm pleased and honored to do that because of who he is and what he's done. And I take on a new nature. I don't take on that old selfish nature. I take on a new nature, a nature that desires to give. And I want to be generous, and I'm happy about it. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. On church, we will look into this, and I want you to know something. I want you to know something. I've said this before, I haven't said it in a while, but I want you to know something. If you're new to Believer's Chapel, I don't know what you give. We have two ladies that are very consistent in counting and registering the finances and bankroll, and then when one's off for the day, we have a third that will come in and count. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I don't know whether you give 10 cents or 10,000 a week. I have no idea what you put in the offering. I have no idea what's attached to your name. I don't look. And listen, this is to guard my heart. I never, watch this, as your pastor, I never want to look at you differently because you give or don't give. I never want to look at you differently. I never want to treat you with special treatment that you get the front row because you gave so much money this week. And look down on those who haven't given. Man, this is a matter of the heart. And as your pastor, I never want to see you right or wrong or better than the next. This is me guarding my own heart as a human being to say, listen, I don't want the temptation to treat somebody better because they gave more money. Listen, in that, if somebody wants to come to me, and I've had this happen where they sit down and say, Sean, listen, my wife and I have been talking. We do want to have a financial meeting with you. We want to sit down with you. We have been blessed, and we want to invest this much money. It's above tithes and offering. It's significant. Of course, I'm going to sit down and have that conversation. And we've had those conversations with amazing, generous people. But on a week to week, I have no idea who gives what. Because I never want to look at you differently. My responsibility is to teach the truth and to love you. And your responsibility is to be generous and walk in this place to be happy about it, be excited about it. And what God will do in 2021, this year. Church, I'm so excited for things within my spirit, the team's spirit, the staff's spirit, a about what this year will look like financially. We're juiced, man. We're excited about building a kingdom and investing in people. Come on, if we could stand to our feet, please. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege to be able to give. And I thank you for hearts that are so generous here in this church, that we have done so well this year and been able to do so much this year. And we are so grateful. Bless us as we go. Come on, as Brendan says, amen.